Welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast. We're glad you could join us today. The Northern Nerd is the Northwoods entertainment, media, and creative hub. Each show includes different guests that come from all walks of life with stories to share. Enjoy our latest episode. This past week, I traveled to Green Bay, Wisconsin to hang out with the Chiava family and to go to the Packers shareholders meeting and training camp. And during that time, we also got a chance to record this podcast. Enjoy.
Hi there, folks. Welcome to episode number 19 of the Northern Nerd Podcast. I'm here in Green Bay, Wisconsin at the Chiava's house, and we're having a good week so far here in Green Bay. Bryce, we went to the shareholders meeting this morning, and what was your whole take on the shareholders meeting, or what was the best part of it in your eyes?
I was privileged to be able to attend because I'm not actually a shareholder.
Yeah, neither am I. Folks, we're breaking the news to you. We're both not shareholders, but we were somehow able to get into the shareholders meeting.
We're not that wealthy. We're only a few years out of college.
So. Yeah.
Yes, we were shareholder crashers. We had our Quick Trip glazed donuts and some kombucha juice,
which is really a one-time deal. It's not like we're wedding crashers, because wedding crashers do that pretty often, I think. But
right,
this is a one-time shareholder crash.
Not an annual event.
No, not for us at least. But I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was, like I said, a privilege for us to be there, and it was cool to experience. I thought that was. It was really unique, and I think that it kind of made me appreciate the Green Bay Packers on a new level, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because they're pretty upfront about stuff. One of the things that kind of stuck out to me was like, just how Mark Murphy was like, "Hey, last 2 years were terrible." They're just gonna call it what it is and just say like, "All right, we're trying to move forward and kind of see where we go from here. Here's our new head coach. Here's the acquisitions that we've made," and then. Then they kind of got it into like the money talk, and we're like, okay, I think it's time to check out the pro shop. But it was getting pretty hot in those bleachers too.
We
got there pretty early.
Yeah, we were pretty exhausted by come noon, and all we had for breakfast was Glazers donuts. That was well, I suppose in
the Bulls. Well, the guys next to us were off to a hotter start than us. I think they had their Bloody Mary bar going.
They had Bloody Marys and we were just grill, like, little portable grill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's for sure.
We thought a fight was going to break out early this morning, though, with that guy. Yeah. The guy that parked really close to the other guy.
Yeah. Some drama in the parking lot this morning.
Yeah.
I got a first row seat, too.
Free parking. So we really couldn't beat that head free entertainment before the shareholders meeting even began. So
we did. You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what you said, how Mark Murphy was just kind of laid it out there and said, "Hey, you know, we didn't perform as good as we did the last 2 years." I feel like it was just kind of like sitting down at a meal with him and he was just talking shop with us. It was kind of like,
yeah,
I mean, he was in a suit and we were all in shorts and Green Bay Packer t-shirts. It was kind of a weird meal that we were sitting down, I suppose, with him, but
yeah,
it wasn't too formal. It was just laid back and it was pretty low key. I feel like he was just talking to us like normal friends, like
we're regular people on the street,
like
kind of thing.
His friends. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. How'd you feel about nobody really sitting around us in the bleachers? That was kind of.
It was kind of.
It made us feel weird. It was kind of packed on our side of the stadium because they sectioned off the stadium, so you couldn't. If there was that many people, but there wasn't like a great amount of people. Not like a game day or anything like that. But there was nobody sitting around like our little bubble. And we're not sure why that was. Greg, you have something to say about that?
You guys weren't wearing Chicago Bears jerseys, were you?
No,
we refrained from that. We weren't that bold.
I was not technically wearing any Packers gear. I was wearing a green shirt.
Yeah, Bryce has got a green shirt on right now with like a little sun. So he has the green and yellow color combination going on. But it wasn't necessarily a Green Bay Packers shirt. Maybe that's why they didn't want to associate with us. Mm-hmm. You think that might have something to do with that?
It could be. I think it'll still kind of be a mystery in my mind. I don't know. Maybe they didn't think that
we both showered. Cool,
I don't know. Like, well, I didn't though.
Okay. So the truth comes out now, Bryce.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But yeah, that was kind of weird. And then there's like this, just a weird gap of people. And we just happened to be sitting in the middle of this gap. I don't know. It was.
But we survived the day and we're looking forward to day two. Well, day one of training camp, but day two for us at Lambeau tomorrow. So that should be a pretty good time. But to kind of bring your parents onto the show now, mm-hmm. What's one of the best things about living in Green Bay? This question will be directed towards your dad.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Dalton. I wanted to just say thanks for this really sick biker's cap. That's TNN, the Northern Nerd hat.
Yeah,
Kind of looks like me a little bit.
It does. You're the inspiration.
Well, I appreciate that with the pine trees next to it, but I have to tell you that I'm probably the worst looking white man on there that wears a ball cap because I have these big ears that stick out. And I'll just let you be the judge, and I know you'll probably be kind words and say I look really sporting with it. Bryce, what do you think? Yeah? Got a head nod here too. So,
yeah.
But you need to get some ladies apparel too because Laura's kind of sitting here without a...
I got to get on that.
Yeah. So it's just something maybe for your merchandising line that you can,
yeah,
you can expand out.
Well. Oh, okay.
Yeah, bracelets.
Northern Nerd bracelets.
Northern
It'd be a different Chacos. Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah,
Chacos, I like it.
With, you know, the gray and the yellow, the gold, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But back to your original question, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Don't yeah. worry about it.
Was living in Green Bay?
Yes. What do you think is the best part about living in Green Bay?
Well, I don't know if I can exactly answer, but I can tell you one thing. When the kids were younger, we used to play football out in the backyard, and we had a tree in the backyard. It was a pine tree that we rescued from up north and brought here, and it was really only a couple 18 inches tall, and that was our end zone line. And I would throw the football to these guys, and being a left-hander like you, you know, the salt.
Got to unite.
Yeah, just a bullet of an arm.
Yeah.
You know, and with your pitching days, of course.
Right.
So we'd play football in the backyard, and the kids were young, and that was the Brett Favre era, you know, and we'd watch football, and these guys really thought, they idolized me to some extent, thought I was a football player. And I was like, wow, you know, they this is really cool because they really think I'm this big guy, right?
Yeah.
Ends up, they grew up a little bit later, and I'm really probably just anything close to the Packers, I'm probably more like a shareholder. But I'm not even a shareholder like you guys were pretending to be today. Right. So,
put up a pretty good front today.
But yeah. So that was kind of the experience of growing up with these kids here. But I don't know. I settled in here in 89, and then Laura graduated. A couple years later, we got married, and we settled in Green Bay, and it's been kind of nice for us family-wise because her family was in Milwaukee, so we could drive down to Milwaukee. My family was in Appleton, and then we had the luxury of going up to Door County, which is only an hour and a half away, and then her parents' cabin in Eagle River, which is 3 hours away. So we feel centrally located in the state, and now we feel even more so with Bryce being in La Crosse, and then Keegan's way out in California, so that doesn't really factor into the picture very well.
But yeah, he's pretty far out there.
So, yeah, we've really had a good time here in Green Bay. I mean, it's we've seen the city grow and mature and get a little bit more cultural than it was blue-collar, I think, when I first moved here in the late 80s. So, I don't know. It was a good family upbringing through all those years. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys still make it a point of emphasis, though, to get away at sometimes to go up north to your guys' cabin, too. And I bet that's kind of nice to escape from city life every now and then.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of nice to get up there, although it's the second house that you have and you have to go up and you have to mow.
Yeah.
I haven't been there for 3 weeks, and so there's work to do. But once you get through that window, we enjoy it. Enjoy our screen porch time and our lake time and kayaking. So yeah, definitely. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
So if you had to describe your last perfect day that you had off, how would you spend your day off?
From work?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it would be going up north. That would be one, or another one I wouldn't mind just taking a nice big old road ride on my bike.
Yeah.
Would probably be good. So either of those two things would be fun. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So Bryce, kind of going back to you here with this one. So for those of you that do not know this, Bryce was my RA freshman year of college. And I've talked about him a couple times here on the show. All good things. Don't worry, Bryce. but kind of going back to that experience, what was one of your favorite things about going to school at Eau Claire? Or being an RA? You can answer either one of those questions.
I think that my favorite part of Eau Claire was that I got to explore the city of Eau Claire when I was a student there. And I think that, I wouldn't say that, I mean, I think a lot of students also do get off campus and get to experience the city. But I think that a lot of students, call Water Street the city of Eau Claire, and that's just not actually the city of Eau Claire. That's
yeah.
Like the college kind of like drinking strip, you know, and party strip.
It's amazing when you go there during the daytime too, how much different it looks.
Yeah.
it's a lot more sad during the daytime.
Yeah. So I think my favorite part of my college experience was just interacting with people out like off campus. And I think that being an RA was great. And I loved being an employee of the university, but the year that I got to live off campus and interact with neighbors and just explore the town. I love to go on runs throughout the town and just explore new trails. When I lived off campus and I lived on Half Moon Lake, I got to go to Carson Park a lot. Got to, you know, just explore the area, go up on the north side of Eau Claire, just ride on the bike trail that they have, the paved bike trail. And I think that was my favorite part of being a student in Eau Claire, was just checking out the surrounding area. And I think it's an area that Molly and I can definitely see ourselves moving to someday. I think the town of Eau Claire, but as well as the campus, holds a special place in our hearts. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of good memories there and things like that. And I think one of my favorite memories of having you as an RA was when you and your roommate Matt kidnapped me one night. It was right before, I think, Christmas break. So it was right around winter finals. And you guys like burst into my room and like drug me over to play NHL. It was like a 2001 like NHL game,
yeah,
and just eat pizza. So I was, yeah, they forced me to do these terrible things.
It was super old. Yeah,
no, that was a really fun time.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah,
do you remember like our first couple weeks there, and we went over for McPhee Fun Night, and we did like the human battleship stuff.
Yeah, I remember. I think I was the coach that night, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and it was you and
Bryson, or not Bryce, Brett and Aaron.
Yeah. Yep.
And I threw the bucket right away.
Too. I thought it was four people in the canoe. I could be mistaken.
Yeah. Well, between me and Matt, we had a lot of legs in that canoe.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. I don't know if they still do that or not, but that was...
You want to chime in here, Greg?
Yeah, I just want to relate a story that Laura and I and my roommate Tim Maurer, we rented a canoe and went down the Red Cedar River in Menominee at UW Stout. And I got to ask you guys, we took a fish net and we took like a 12 pack of beer and we tied it up in the fish net and threw it in the water because it was really ice cold water. Dragged it behind the canoe as we went down the river. And do you remember when we came upon that buck that was crossing the river?
You're really panting.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. And the beer only enhanced the situation. So I want to ask you guys if you experienced the dropping of a fresh beverage in the waters of the Chippewa. Is it the Chippewa River?
Yeah.
The Chippewa and the Eau Claire meet.
Yeah. See? So
you know, Claire.
If not, you guys are going to have to relive that scene like Deliverance or something like that. You're just going to have to redo it. Yeah. Maybe at your fifth year anniversary or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think
we did not have any beverages in the canoe at that point because it was a school-sponsored event.
We were in a pool.
For freshmen.
But...
And I was an RA, so
that would have been a bold way to start the school year.
Yeah, to throw a six pack in the bottom of the canoe. No, that would have been bold. I have enjoyed a cold beverage in the waters of the Chippewa.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things like you have to do as an Eau Claire student. It's like on the bucket list thing, like go for a float down the Chippewa River with with some friends.
I never got to do it in the summer though.
When did you, how did you enjoy a beverage on the river then?
It was in the fall.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And it wasn't a very long stretch. So I don't even know if it counts, but.
We'll say it counts.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Bryce, you recently got back from Hawaii not too long ago. And what can you tell us about Hawaii that blew you away? Besides like the touristy stuff like everybody sees on movies, what would you say that's something that you didn't really expect that blew you away while you were in Hawaii?
Well, I think the way that we planned the trip, I tried to not plan the touristy stuff that a lot of people end up going to. And I think I knew that I was going to be more impressed by the stuff that I didn't see with a bunch of other people who were also seeing that, just for like, you know, almost like the quick sights or something like that. So we had planned to go backpacking in Haleakala National Park, which is this large dormant volcano that exists in Maui at 10,000 feet. And we, 10,000 feet is the highest point. And then there's the caldera of a volcano that you can hike into. So we hiked 10 miles out to the rim of the other side of the caldera. And we camped there for a few nights and then went to the other side. And that was just absolutely stunning. Just the wildlife and just like the untouched nature that not many people get to experience, because people go to Hawaii to see, you know, sights and take in the touristy stuff, you know, like
sit on the beach.
Yeah, right. People don't come.
They have a bunch of drinks kind of thing.
People don't come prepared to bring their backpacking gear and stay four nights, which is what we did, or more, at a national park. So I think that's the thing that blew me away most, is just how untouched the nature was out there in the caldera, how unique the nature was. We got to see many native Hawaiian birds in the caldera, and it was just absolutely stunning, the wildlife that you can see, and then the native plants and animals that are there and untouched by by humans, but also by climate change in some sense, and just like the change in our environment nowadays. That was, I think, the thing that just blew me away most was Haleakala National Park, staying in the crater and seeing all of the cool untouched nature, geology. That was the thing that blew me away.
Yeah. And I'd say, like, if people are looking for a different experience, like to step outside of like just the touristy trap of Hawaii, try kind of doing something that you did and kind of doing some more exploration with that. And you get a different side of things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if you're prepared to do that, if you're
right, yeah, don't just go out on a whim and
right. And I think one thing that we learned on our trip is that Hawaii was not made to be a tourist destination. Like, it's a very wild and dangerous place. You know, it's and it's not to be taken lightly. Like, the ocean is a giant force that, if you're not careful with it, can be very dangerous and like can kill you if you're not careful. And so I think a lot of people, we also learn, like, go there and maybe we even had this mindset too, is like, oh, it's a paradise, you know, like we're gonna be safe, obviously. But it's I think the talking to natives and people like who live in Hawaii, just it was cool for us to learn, like, there's a reverence in respecting the environment too, and how powerful it is. And I think that was cool to learn and necessary, I think, for us to learn too, is like, okay, you know, you have to know what you're getting into. You have to prepare. But I would definitely, for anyone who is maybe borderline to take a trip like that, I would say go for it. Like, try to be prepared as much as you can, but do it. Do something like that where you get to be away from people and experience a paradise in a different respect than you usually do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you and your wife, Molly, have done quite a bit of traveling over the past couple of years, just kind of following you guys on Facebook and whatnot. But what's one of your places that, one of your favorite places that you've ever been to? And this will kind of be like a open question for Greg and Laura as well. What's one of the, so you guys can think about this while Bryce is answering, but what's one of the favorite places that you've been to?
To answer that in just like the last year of the places that we've been to.
Sure. I think, yes. We'll confine it to that.
Yeah. I think my favorite place has been the Redwood National Forest in Northern California.
Okay. And what made that area so unique?
I think what made it unique, but also just meaningful for Molly and I was one, we were coming off a difficult season of life, having lost my sister-in-law and Molly's older sister, Erin. And Erin especially loved trees. She loved the metaphorical purpose that trees serve to in giving us, you know, just the root system or the support and the life that they bring to forests and stuff like that. And so having lost Erin, we definitely see trees in a new light, and redwoods are unlike any other tree that exists on this earth. And so we especially loved seeing the redwoods because you're surrounded by these trees that are 300 feet tall, and they're just trunks, and they just pop out of the ground out of nowhere, and they're all so close together. They have a shallow root system, and so they rely on twisting their roots around each other in large groups, so they plant themselves very close to each other, and so they have a good support network. And just all of the cool, like I said, metaphorical things that redwoods represent, I think, was just so cool, but also just so stunning how tall they can get, and how you can just look at them for hours, or look in a forest and you just like you never stop being amazed at how tall these trees are and how impressive they are too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I would say the redwoods.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty powerful trip for you guys.
Yeah,
yeah, just take all that in, and yeah, like you were saying, the metaphorical sense too behind it all, as well as just linking together, and you can kind of see like that going hand in hand with like how a family needs to be close knit and stuff like that too. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or yeah, just a community in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, Laura, do you want to take the next one?
Sure.
All right. Awesome. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, what's one of the favorite places that you've traveled to?
Oh, that's a very easy question.
Okay.
So, my husband Greg and I went to Italy to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Okay. And two locations in Italy were just amazing because they're not like anything I've experienced before. Venice, this floating city, was just really neat, you know. And so that was really enjoyable. Very cool. And then Greg was bold enough to drive to the Dolomites, which was, I could never have done it. It's these switchbacks going up these mountains, and
it's a pretty scary driving for a while there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't a short drive. It was a long drive.
Right. Well, it never is a short drive on those.
But the Dolomites were just magical. They were just so cool how you could, you know, I don't know how similar they would be to like Colorado, just looking up and seeing the snow, top mountains.
Yeah.
When you really weren't that far away, it didn't feel like you were that far away. So that was just very cool. Very cool. And then we got to go to a castle not too far away, which was something I really wanted to do while we were there. So, between, I think, Venice and the Dolomites, just because they were so different from each other, but yet within the same trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Dolomites were, it was just kind of unbelievable to be there. I don't know. You just felt like you're in some fairy tale, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was a pretty cool trip.
So pretty safe to say that if you guys were given the opportunity, would you go back there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go back there. But I'd want to explore southern Italy because that was more northern Italy. So mm-hmm. I've heard some pretty cool things about the Amalfi Coast, I believe it's called. Yeah. So I'd like to explore that area.
If you like the Northern Nerd podcast and other things created by the Northern Nerd, please consider supporting us by going to our online store at www.thenorthernnerd.com/online store. And there you're going to find our hats, our coffee mugs, our t-shirts, and not just stuff with our logos on them, but other things with the Northwoods in mind. If you go there right now and you go to checkout and you type in promo code podcast as you're checking out, you're going to get 10% off your next order. Please consider supporting the Northern Nerd, and thank you for being a nerd.
So welcome back from the break of kind of a forced intermission there, but we're back nonetheless. So the main question that we were asking was, what is the favorite place that you've traveled to? So Greg, what's the favorite place you've traveled to?
Well, I kind of agree with Laura. Italy was a really fun trip. I think it was 10 days that we were there. So
yeah.
It was a pretty good excursion. I've had the blessing to travel a lot for my job previously at Paper Converting, and then a little bit with Fosber. So I've gotten some international travel while mainly work travel. You still get to see some sites when you go places, but you really didn't get to go to touristy places, but you got to see some things. So that was kind of fun. But yeah, so that's probably Italy is probably one of the bigger ones that's on my list. And then I think the list or the places I want to see or that Laura and I would like to see is go out west a little bit, like Yosemite.
Okay, Bishop yeah.
Park and a couple places like that would be fun. I can probably share with you probably the worst experience of places that
go
I've
for
been
it.
To.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is kind of an interesting story. So I was able to travel to London and I was only there once.
Okay.
And we went with Paper Converting. We went to negotiate a rewinder line there with a customer. And so we flew into London to the airport. And they shuttled us over to a hotel on the airport grounds and spent the night. And the next day we went through this massive negotiation with probably 20, 25 people. It was crazy.
Okay.
And they had a buffet line set up for us to eat at the evening because of the size of our group. And so we all went through the buffet line and they had flounder and some other stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'll try that. And the following morning we flew back. So I flew in, went to a meeting all day, rested a night, got on a plane the next morning and flew back. So I never saw London, but I got on a plane to come back home. And I sat in my seat and I happened to just kind of turn to the left to look down the aisleway. And all of a sudden, my internals just went, and I was like, oh, that's not right. And I was sick the entire way home. And then 5-hour layover in Cincinnati.
Oh.
To come to find out, 7 people from that group all had food poisoning.
And you were one of the 7?
I was one of the 7. I never had that before, and it was just miserable. It was short-lived. Never saw anything in London. Came home and was sicker than a dog.
Yeah, that does not sound like a good experience at all.
No. So that was London. Maybe one day we'll get back there. I don't know, but that was...
Stay away from the flounder.
Stay away from the flounder on a buffet line.
Right.
Yeah.
Folks, if you learned anything today during the podcast, stay away from the flounder in London.
That's right. Especially at the airport.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the worst travel experience I've ever had, but not too many come to mind. I guess I haven't traveled enough to know, but we once had a terrible time in Ohio with my family. We were coming back from Niagara Falls, and it was like day six of the trip, and it was a big family road trip. So it was kind of like we felt like the Griswolds. And we were at this Denny's, and it was maybe like 10 o'clock at night. And it was Friday the 13th. And the waitress like kept dropping like all of our stuff on the ground and like messing up our orders. And she blamed it on Friday the 13th, but we didn't think we were going to make it out of there alive. But it was, yeah, I'd say if anything, that was probably the worst trip experience. But
was that at Eddie DeBedek's? Is that how you pronounce it? Down in Chicago, where they, you know, they mess with you on purpose, you know, they make you say smart things.
I've seen those videos, and I really want to take my dad there, because I'd be interested to see how my dad would gel with that.
Yeah.
Because my dad's a really sarcastic guy. So I wonder how he'd take it, if he'd give it right back, or how he'd handle it.
Yeah.
Have you guys been there?
Did we go there? We went to Chicago. Did we go that Eddie DeBedex, or how do you pronounce it? Yeah, I think we did.
Make Keegan cry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Make Keegan cry. Yeah. Wow. Because they just tear you apart there, right?
That was last year.
Yeah, last year. Keegan, you're not here to defend yourself, so sorry.
That's how bad it is. My memory shot 1 year later, but
that was probably 18 years ago.
Okay.
So let me turn the tables, and now you get your opportunity to talk about Hayward and what it was like growing up there and in the northern part of Wisconsin, and what was it like for you?
Yeah, I like it. I like the turntables here.
Do we have enough SD chip over there? Kind of?
Yeah, I think we got enough this time. Okay. Yeah, we should be good.
All right.
I think one of the greatest experiences was my mom really got us involved in the community. So she grew up in the Hayward area. My dad was from about an hour away, Cameron, Wisconsin. But my mom grew up there, so she really knew a lot of people. And at the time, we hated it. We absolutely hated her volunteering us for everything. So any event going on in town, she'd always be like, "Yep, we'll be there. We'll be pooper scooping in the Muskie Fest parade. We'll be handing out buttons or whatever the situation called for." But it's through all those different experiences that we really got to appreciate the town and just how much volunteers do. I think whenever I'm at an event now, it's like a point of emphasis, like try to thank one of the volunteers that works there, or just because I know kind of what they're going through and how much work it takes to put on these events. And so I think that's what really makes Hayward a unique area, is all the different events going on, but all the people that come together to make that kind of stuff happen. And I don't think you have that in every community, where everybody's kind of willing to band together and just try to showcase the community the best that they can. But, just all the different things that you can do. So maybe it doesn't have like the big retail stores or the big chain restaurants or anything like that. But I think the connections that you get to make with the community members and the restaurant owners and the business owners is just unparalleled to that, to anything else. So that's kind of why I like living there, and kind of that's why I'm moved back there after college and kind of starting up my adulthood there, I guess. So.
And you've become quite the celebrity with the TNN, the Northern Nerd in Hayward.
Yeah, in some respects, yeah. It's kind of cool being, so sometimes I'll be recognized around town, or when I go to Main Street Tacos, they'll say like, "Hey, you're the Northern Nerd," kind of thing. So it's been neat to see. It's only been, I mean, you're still pretty young with the Northern Nerd, and so a little over a year started this. But it's been fun to kind of highlight the Hayward area and just kind of get to know people and their stories and things like that. So,
do they give you the Taco Tuesday discount just because you're the Northern Nerd, or do they?
I don't know. Maybe they give me extra like guacamole or something like that. I appreciate all that they do. So, yeah, I just like going there.
You got to eat it fast. So remember the other night we were talking about guacamole and I said, you can't let it sit out too long. Cause it'll turn
brown. Yeah, that's not a problem with me. I'd like to wolf down anything in front of me. So I'd like to be a member of the Clean Plate Club as often as I can be.
I got a question for you. This is kind of like, what's that guy?
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? Zach. I can't pronounce his last name.
Galifianakis.
Yeah. This is kind of one of his kind of questions. So
okay.
Can you maybe in as much memory as you can, can you tell the audience how many times you've had family photos around that big fiberglass musky fish that's up there in Hayward? And how many times have you entered into the mouth or looked out the mouth of the musky?
So actually, like, locals don't spend too much time there. But an interesting story is that I had to, my Uncle Joe, so is my, yeah, my Uncle Joe worked there. And he was kind of their maintenance guy. And when I was 12 years old, I was kind of looking for odd jobs to do around town to make some money. And he's like, why don't you come over and help me paint the pool of the big muskie? So I painted the pool of the big muskie and then painted the fence posts out in the parking lot. So that was my contribution to Hayward's claim to fame, was painting the pool blue. If anybody has any beef with how well that painting job was done, you can take that up with my uncle, not me. I was just there on the side doing what he directed me towards. But yeah, it's kind of neat to see. You can kind of overlook the city once you get up there. But they put a Santa Claus and some reindeer up there during the winter time, so that's always kind of nice to drive by. But just like the history involved with the big muskie, and if you go there, you can check out like all these outboard motors and all these, see all these fishing stories and stuff like that. So yeah, I really like the history behind it all.
Cool.
Got to get you guys up there and take you on a tour of the big muskie.
We almost got to do that in the summer, and then we want to do the Berkey. So we got to get there in February for this next year, because we kind of missed our opportunity this year for whatever reason. So
we'll get you guys up there. We'll get you the big Hayward experience and tour the town and see the sights.
Traditional cowbell? Is that all we got to bring?
Yeah, bring a cowbell and you should be all set.
Okay. All right. Wool underwear, wool socks.
Yeah, wool is the way to go. They say cotton is rotten is the old saying, so bring the wool. All right. And you should be all set. Yeah. Well, are you guys ready for the lightning round of the podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
During this lightning round, I'll explain it to you real quick. So the lightning round, I just ask you guys a bunch of questions, and you just try to think of what comes to your mind first.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay, so we'll start off with Greg, and then we'll just kind of pass the mic kind of clockwise here.
Okay.
So, Greg, the first question I have for you is, what skill would you like to master?
Ooh, photography.
Photography. Okay. Why is that?
Because I enjoy taking pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that, just like spending time with you guys the past few days, and just, you take some pretty good photos on your phone.
Yeah, they actually turn out pretty good. And I've been using my new Nikon D5300 a lot more.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have invested maybe 2 years ago or something. So yeah, I have time to do it now.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Bryce, I got a question for you here. What's one thing you hope never changes? No time to think here, Bryce. What's one thing you hope never changes?
Your waist size.
Greg said your waist size.
That's a good one. Well, usually I go pretty deep on questions like this. It's kind of a deep question.
Okay, well, sorry. Yeah, maybe this is not the best lightning round question, but
I suppose it depends on the
feel free to get deep here, Bryce. We got time.
I hope that Spotted Cow in New Glarus never changed the recipe for Spotted Cow.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's very deep.
It's always Wisconsin's flagship beer.
Question for you, Laura.
Yeah.
What's worth spending more on to get the best? So it's something you don't mind spending money on.
Worth more. And it would have to be my Chaco shoes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those do look pretty comfy.
Yeah. So it's worth spending a little bit more on your Chaco shoes, you know.
Yeah.
They'll last you a while.
I like it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll double up on this one and then we'll work our way back here. Okay. So you're in for two here.
Chaco, I'd like some money on that.
Yeah. Let's see if Chaco can sponsor the show. We'll send some money your way here, Laura. What fictional place would you most like to go to? So whether that's a fictional place from a movie that you've seen or a TV show you've watched or a book you've read.
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island. Answer from Greg. Greg's.
Yeah. Right. I just might use that one for my answer because I'm not very quick on thinking on this one. Well, I got some good questions there. You should have given us a sheet ahead of time so we can...
I'm sorry.
Fictional place. You know, the first thing that pops in my head is the Wizard of Oz, right?
Oz. Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
The Wicked Witch, after she's been dealt with.
Right.
The house has been dropped on her.
Only the good Glenda, the good witch.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like it. Okay, Bryce. What's the best way a person can spend their time?
The best way someone can spend their time is appreciating the time that they get.
Boom. Mic drop. I like it. What is the most impressive thing you know how to do?
I can hula hoop.
I saw it downstairs when we were playing pool.
Yeah.
Bryce was busy destroying me in pool. I saw the hula hoop.
Yeah, we have a couple hula hoops. Some are weighted with water in them, and I'm not a real big fan of those.
Yeah.
I do it every once in a while. I gyrate down there when you're not around. During my yoga exercises, I'll put on the hula hoop and just let her go and see if I can still have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I like it. It's an underrated skill.
Well, I won a contest at a wedding one time, and should it ever come up again, I'm going to compete again. So I have to keep practicing, and you know, I got to keep in style.
I'm going to keep a hula hoop in my car now for when I DJ at a wedding that I know you guys are going to be at, just because I want to see this go down.
Oh, yeah. Could be a standoff.
Yes. Well, I'm not very good. We'll see who else brings the right game to face you. But
well, you are the DJ. If you put the right music on it, It'll get me going.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll bring out the warrior inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Shakira, these hips don't lie. Yeah. Okay. All right. So this one will go to Bryce, and I'll give him two questions here since everybody's gotten two questions now. So, Bryce, the question I have for you is, if you could turn any activity into an Olympic sport, what would you have a good chance at winning a gold medal for? It's any activity that you do.
I'm pretty good at whistling. It's kind of a subjective sport, but
yeah.
If there was a whistling competition, I would not mind participating in something like that. I think I'd place at least.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what like the Russian judge would give you for your whistle.
Yeah, right.
I want to ask you to whistle now just because I'm not sure the microphones could take it, but I trust you.
Okay. Good. Yeah, my kid kind of whistle shy.
Yeah, whistle shy. I've heard gun shy, but whistle shy. Yeah. That's a new one.
Yeah.
All right, last question here. What is one of your favorite smells? We'll end with that one with you, Bryce. What's one of your favorite smells?
That's an easy one. I think one of my favorite smells is lilies of the valley because they remind me of my mom.
Yeah.
We used to have them on the side of the first house that I grew up in, and my mom always took so much pride in them. And so I think they are the best smelling flower.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite smell.
I have to say bacon is mine. Mm.
That's different. That's a different answer.
That is very different, but yeah, I'm a big breakfast guy. So.
Yeah. It's not a bad answer.
Well, thanks.
It's a great answer.
Appreciate it.
It's just much different.
Yeah. All right. So we've kind of reached the end of the show here, but any last comments or any shout outs you want to give while you're on the mic here, Bryce or Greg or Laura? Any Anything you want to say?
Shout out to my wife, Molly, who's not here with us. She's back in La Crosse. Didn't make the trip. There wasn't enough free tickets for her. Sorry, Molly.
Sorry, Molly. We could have snuck her in if we really tried.
Yeah, we actually probably could have, yeah.
We had some extra glazers. I think we could have let them do the talking while we did the walking and just whoosh, gone right by.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So shout out to Molly. Yeah, shout out to the Packers. Good luck on your 2019 season.
I took mine. Go Pack, go! 2019, shout out to the Packers. 2020.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll be watching the Super Bowl here.
That's right. Super Bowl bound.
You heard it here first, folks. Well, Greg, what about you?
Bryce and the boys are heading up for a boys' retreat up at the cabin, so all I have to say is ASAP PBR me. Or PBR me ASAP, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Have a good time and enjoy the northern woods. Get out on the water. Hope the flies and the mosquitoes aren't too bad.
Yeah, that can always make or break a trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You got dual duty this weekend.
That's a first. I might just have to do a whole podcast episode on what that was like.
Yeah.
Just to give you guys a taste of that.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on the show and just opening up your home to me this week and welcome me to Green Bay. It's been cool to explore the area, but just besides going to Lambeau, but also checking out the places that you guys like to go to as well. So can't thank you guys enough, and thanks for coming on the Northern Nerd Podcast. Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.